What the fuck is happening on the regular chat? Everyone's talking Spanish. Have I landed in a parallel universe where the Spanish have won the war and progressed up to the great Canadian North? What the fuck is happening? This was all started by professional troll and Acadian Joel Surette. How are you doing, people of the internet? How are you doing, people of the regular chat? Exciting days on Twitter. The Australian faction formed by Keith Woods, Joel Davis, other people, has been successful at making a big trending subject on Twitter. Hashtag ban the ADL. To the point where Elon has liked one tweet by Keith Woods about it and has answered to it, and in fact has confirmed just how much the ADL tried hard to threaten the financial viability of Elon. And so yesterday, people were annoying me. They were saying, Jeff, you should join hashtag ban the ADL. But they were all annoying me in this very low IQ way. I was like, you guys look like a bunch of bots. And so yesterday I was like, do I join these bots? I don't want to be spotted by the eye of Elon. I was seeing the eye of Elon like in Mordor, just looking over me. And I was like, you know, if it turns out that Elon and his Elon and Linda go after bots, and they start saying, all right, starting now, we will eliminate bots, and I get caught in this censorship again. So I decided yesterday I'm not going to touch the hashtag. But I did tweet about it. I said, you know, it makes sense from a TOS perspective. The Twitter TOS say that they will ban people who are not financially viable. Well, how's the ADL financially viable? I see that Keith Woods is in the chat. It's great to see what Keith Woods is becoming. He's becoming this the McDonald's of anti-Semitism, basically. It's like he's out there representing a cardboard version, a diluted version. He's kind of like the Big Mac of the alt-right. He is tasty, easily accessible for the normie. He comes at a cheap price, but people eventually are fond of gathering around a McDonald's to eat at low cost with a whole family. And that is what Keith Woods offers to the people of the internet. And I respect him for what he's delivering these days. Dead Star says, oh my God, someone said JF's name in my chat. How dare they mention that materialist? Oh yeah, it's a long time in the past that me and Keith Woods were having it at materialism and idealism. Keith Woods says, that's the nicest thing anyone ever said about me. It's what we call French compliments. You know, they come and they sting also. They're like beautiful little bees. All right. Twitter X has been announcing that they are working on an option to share our email when you subscribe to a creator. This could be for a newsletter function and or to allow creators to easily take their email list with them to other platforms, as Elon has previously promised. And I said, hey, if we're going to include emails in this system, please include an option to share our fax numbers also. It would be good if I can leave my Twitter account with all my subscribers and all their fax numbers so that I can fax them my weekly newsletter. I think that would help the porting of crowds across social media compatibility. I fax my newsletter to you guys. then I'd get banned from Twitter. I can fax my newsletter to you guys on Facebook. I get banned from there. I can fax to you guys my newsletter from Getter or Truth Social. I think that would be great. Someone understood the joke and said, lol. I don't know who this guy is, but I think he's a perfect representation. I don't know who BitBoy Crypto is, but I think he's a perfect representation of someone who doesn't own himself.
Hey, guys. This is not the easiest video, but I have...
So, recently, this guy was basically kicked out of his own brand. He owns himself so little that the people... This is BitBoy. The BitBoy crypto guy. So I don't know who he is. I had never heard of this, but apparently he's built this whole kind of half scammy, half not scammy, this whole community, and say, oh yeah, we're making a lot of millionaires and recommending crypto projects. Of course, this always goes to shit, because recommending crypto project, you may be lucky until you're not. And in fact, by the time that you're not lucky, you will have BitBear, that's his name, BitBear, who has the BitBoy YouTube channel. But recently, BitBear has gone on a spree of betraying his wife, sleeping with another woman, taking drugs, being overly aggressive as a result of his drugs and steroids, which he says in this video is more like for muscle building and getting in shape. It's not like back in those days when he was doing meth. And he was acting so horribly that he got kicked out of his own stuff. So he was just a face of his thing. He didn't have power. He was in business deals where he didn't own himself. And I'm not surprised, because the big game of deception crypto, of the altcoins and the crap coins and the shit coins, the big game at this point is how can we create a deceptive project, that how can we market it in the cheapest way possible, and how can we just cash out the quickly we can? Because everyone knows now that altcoins all go to shit. They all go to shit, and you get a window of between 1 day and 1 month. And maybe if you have an exceptional project, maybe 6 months. But you better be... you better be out of it, because you're going to be forgotten by the internet. And so... people who are in this business of just scam, entry scam all the way, and let's repeat, rinse, wash, repeat, they need faces that they control so that they can say, hey, this week you're going to be fascinated about this crypto. And that sucks, because it loses the whole sense of journalism, of honesty, honor, of value long term. You really have just a bunch of faces who are hired to deceive you, to drive your flow of money toward their project, from which they largely benefit. So that's why they can't afford having free thinkers in those parts of the crypto world. A free thinker like me might like a project, but might think that a project is bound to fail. And back in the days when I was covering crypto with Satoshi Street's Bet, I had opinions that certain projects are not good, that I wouldn't refer my crowd to this, but they can't, because they're totally owned. And the proof of that is that the very guy at the center of a public community of crypto has been kicked out of his own community. He didn't own himself enough that he could have the liberty to smoke crack and take steroids. That's how little liberty they have. Now, imagine how much liberty he had about what kind of crypto projects he would recommend. Zero. If you don't have the liberty of crack, you don't have the liberty of anything.
Ever had to make by any stretch of the imagination. And I've got a couple words on a piece of paper. This is all from the heart.
Six words I have prepared. You sound like, who's this Fox News bimbo who was like, this video is going to be awesome. I wrote six words on my notepad.
Got some topics that I want to cover. Is that serious? That was not, I guess that's a comic relief we all needed at this moment. You have to laugh until you cry. So.
Oh my God, it's not going well when even a dog appearing is a tragedy.
First, I'm sorry. Sorry to the Bit Squad. I know I let people down. I know that. I've let my family down. I've let the Bit Squad down. I've let everybody down.
The guy must be a multimillionaire. I mean, at this point, even when you don't own yourself at this point, they must have paid him something. He has children, a wife. And this fucking idiot just goes on a steroid spree and starts fucking interns.
I failed. I was so strong for so long. I've been at rock bottom before. I know what it feels like. I'm there again.
These people, these flawed human beings, they annoy me so much. What we need is a flamethrower.
So, the word relapse is an interesting word, because I think...
The philosophy of the word relapse. No, it's not interesting. You fucked up. You have everything that a man could want to be happy, and you wasted it.
The way I interpret it and the way other people may have interpreted it are not the same. I haven't done cocaine, haven't done meth, haven't done drugs like that, didn't relapse...
But
I've been taking diet pills, and I've been taking some steroids, some stuff.
Diet pills. Among pills that are known and used on the streets as diet pills are included amphetamines. Speed, which does a similar effect on your brain as cocaine and meth. So you relapsed. I've done diet drugs.
Stuff that I thought was helping me. It helped me get my body in shape. You guys know I was very out of shape. I was doing everything I can.
Oh my God. I won't enable you. I won't enable you, just like your wife probably has been doing, to justify your drug addiction, your speed addiction, by thinking that somehow it's linked to your health, and that, yeah, you do need to lose weight. You know, it won't help you. It might help you on the short term, but really what's going to happen if you go on speed is you're going to be so addicted to speed and you're going to be constantly taking them, and that will make you forget 1-2 meals per day. That's how you lose weight on speed.
Try to do the best, and you know,
yeah, the shirt, people are commenting about the shirt. This is not a wife beater. This is a dog beater. I mean, this is the next stage. The wife beater, you kind of have more on the side. This is more like a t-shirt that was specifically folded and cut so as to look like a bastard's wife beater. But the wife beater has some sort of class, you know. You feel that it comes from the white trash world, whereas this has zero class. This is like you're in the process of removing your t-shirt, and it just awkwardly rolled onto itself, and now you need help.
You know, the thing is that... I guess I was acting crazier than I thought I was. These things were affecting me more than I thought they were. And everybody around it could see me, and I just couldn't see it. And obviously, a lot of people know at this point. And if you don't, you're going to know now. I had an affair. I did.
Oh my God, an affair. What did you get from it? Zero babies. You are shaming yourself publicly. You are making your wife suffer. And look at her, all loyal. I see that you've kept the keys. I see that you've kept your metal plate secret from her because she feels so bound to your Bitcoin, BitBoy, that she stays by your side after you betrayed her.
And I know that I have a family brand. That's my brand, family. And this is my family.
You ruined your brand, bro.
And I had an affair, and it went on for a while. And, you know, the other person is not a bad person. I want to say that. I take full responsibility for all of this. And, you know, what says family more than staying together when you go through something like this? And we're going to stay together.
Yeah, I love him.
Yeah, given that Ethereum keys are fully in the control of BitBoy, I really love him. I see that he couldn't lose weight despite his meth addiction. Therefore, he should die from a heart attack very soon. I wouldn't want to miss on the opportunity for this massive Ethereum transfer.
Him so much, and everyone has, all couples go through hard times, and I believe in redemption, and I believe in hope, and
I believe in Ethereum,
and I fully believe that Ben and I, we've invested too much in our relationship.
Invested is the code word for the seed words. She doesn't know the 24 words.
For either one of us to walk away. So we are committed to making us a priority and becoming and coming out a lot stronger as a couple and ultimately as a family.
Yeah. So we're going to work through this. It's going to be really hard. It's going to be really hard for my kids.
He has kids. I hate these people. So disorganized. So messed up, always with the messed up crying, you know. There are good moments to cry in your life, but this guy is just an eternal fuck up. It's always going to be that way. He is flawed inside his heart. But, you know, it's good to see at least one couple stand strong in the modern world, but I'm so annoyed at these guys. Swing It says he is in a vulnerable state. Maybe she can nudge him to reveal her the 24 words. Maybe she can't. Maybe she can, yes. So my comment on this was, Guy Buell's crypto community must be pretty rich, but he can't help to cheat on his wife and take drugs. Then realizes his legal arrangements don't even give him ownership of his own brands, and they kick him out. This is why self-ownership should never be negotiable. Not for artists, not for free thinkers, not for innovators. Own yourself and know how to stay out of a deal that buys a part of you. But that's the catch. Some people have nothing to bring, and they know it. So they slave away to people who promise to unlock the celebrity that they do not deserve. This makes me think about Kanye. And what he was saying about the music industry. Isn't that the very same thing that Kanye was complaining about here? You know, you have guys who are merely held as the cardboard of an industry. They're merely here to kind of direct the sheep in the right direction so that they can be profited from. That is not my vision of a good public involvement. And eventually, being in that position, you receive so much constraint. Basically, your bosses are telling you what you should like, what you should talk about. And so you're not in control anymore of your value. They are draining you. They're pressing the lemon. They're squeezing. And this guy cracked under the pressure. Nancy is not uniparty. McCarthy won't pull trigger on Biden impeachment without doubtful House votes. You know how Democrats are highly coordinated when it comes to things like spying on Trump, framing Trump with a hoax dossier. But then on the former president for asking about Biden corruption, they are saying that the Democrats are not as united as they are on other causes. It's a theoretical article. The idea that the Democrats could turn against Biden, I don't think they feel quite ready. I know that there are certainly people like AOC, people, the kind of far left of the Democrat Party could be interested at some point to push someone like Biden out, to just make him trip on some accidental thing that he could do. I think they would jump on the occasion if it was to show, but I don't think they feel quite ready. I think they're going to want the safe assurance that we're still in control with Biden and they're going to go again with him. I think they would be scared of scaring the population with a either more extreme or more stupid candidate like Kamala Harris, or more radical candidate. I think they will not want to do this. They don't feel confident enough in their take over power. The Atlantic has this article. It has a ridiculous angle. A ridiculous angle to YouTube censorship. They talk of the period of censorship not as, oh my God, no one will remember just how cognitively oppressed streamers have been since then. No, they talk of it as, no one will remember just how crazy YouTube was before, because we've censored people so much that there are now no archive to remind people of the great danger of non-censorship. That is the point of this article. Very, very few people are falling down the YouTube rabbit hole. The site's crackdown on radicalization seems to have worked, but the world will never know what was happening before that. Believe me, the world remembers. People talk to me about this period of internet history on an everyday basis. It is something that people remember. And yes, the world remembers. The normies don't remember, but that's because they weren't there. But everyone who was there on the internet will remember this era, that at some point YouTube was kind of a free market and they were kind of letting freedom of thought happen on their platform. And they had no way to control it because we were live. So what we had is a very tiny window opening into the world when it's controlled by free individuals. What kind of thought are we headed toward? What kind of thing can we share that we wouldn't have shared in less live formats? Basically, it's the live of YouTube that opened up possibilities that weren't there before. Because when you're live, some things can happen that you don't control. Some guests can come with IDs. And so eventually all IDs make it to a live. People remember, and people know very well that the current state of YouTube is a big lie. It's a facade. It's not what people converge toward. We all know that Susan Wojcicki has been modifying the algorithm to cheat so that the leftists would win by default. And even if it drives people toward videos they don't truly like, they did it at a cost to them. And they did it because they wanted the left's ID to win artificially. We will be talking about ADL, ban the ADL, a new hashtag started up by Keith Woods. Go away, says Jeff. I talked to my 12-year-old niece and it's scary, the information bubble she lives in. I tried to show her how to use BitChute, but she has never even used a Windows PC, only iPad and at home and Macs at school. It's terrible. People are living, you describe it very well, information bubble. that is what people live in. And the only bubble that has truly popped for now, that used to be controlled also, is X and Twitter. And of course, the series of alternative websites like Gab, Odyssey, BitChute, those are the only places where you can get what you originally had from the internet, which is an experience of free speech. And one of the actors strongly working for that world of censorship is ADL. Keith Woods said, as soon as Elon Musk took over Twitter, the ADL got to work, ensuring his promise of a free speech site would not come to fruition. They even warned that Twitter was now on death watch. Why do these people get to threaten and extort social media companies like this? And he cites the ADL in 2022 that was saying, whatever happens to Twitter, new social platforms need to center trust and safety from the outset, or risk being subject to the same fate. In the meantime, Elon Musk has put Twitter on death watch. It didn't have to be this way. Notice that the ADL says this, but they have the golden check mark. They are still hanging out on Twitter, so Twitter hasn't died at all. But the fact that they have approached Linda, the CEO of Twitter, has started scaring people, because last time we saw ADL and the likes lobbying these people, they won. They made their case that, hey, we're going to drive millions of dollars your way if you can just censor a handful of people. And the social media ended up bending the knee. For some of them, probably ideologically motivated to do so. But for some of them, also perhaps doing it on false understanding of the market, thinking that somehow banning voices will lead Ford to want to make ads about pickup trucks. That's not how it works. If you can impose a public square that is free, and if you can be the only game in town in this, the advertisers are going to have to use you, or they will be punished. They will not receive coverage. They will not have a good exposition on your platform. And that's the leverage that Elon Musk has to pull. He has to say, it's not negotiable. We are where people are headed when they do political conversation. If you're interested in these eyes, they are for sale. But you don't get to control who says what. I would stand much stronger than Elon, because Elon's position currently is to say freedom of speech, but not freedom of reach, which first is a saying of the ADL. Second is code word for absolute shadow banning. And third, just at the fundamental level, freedom of speech includes freedom of hearing. And if you are putting obstacles along the path of someone wanting to hear someone else, you are effectively depriving of the freedom of speech. The freedom of speech from a principled perspective has two components. It is the freedom to speak and the freedom to hear. And there are some classical Supreme Court decisions about this. it's not just the freedom to speak in a jail where no one hears you. There are ways in which, by keeping the recipients from receiving the speech, you are violating freedom of speech. Shrigmamel sends a super chat. He says, Jeff, when will the real estate market collapse? I'm under the impression these insane prices could last for years. That's also my impression. My impression is that, again, the big short guy, again, went in too early with this short. It could crash next year. It could crash next week. But something tells me that the system will have the second breath trying to And when you think about the coordination with the Bitcoin bull run that's coming with the halving, a crash would have to happen very soon for it not to be undermined by a sudden Bitcoin rise. Because what happens when you are at the peak of a Bitcoin bull run? People cash out of Bitcoin and they buy houses, and the price of houses go up. So basically, a crash of the real estate market cannot happen at the height of a bull run on other markets. It has to be the case that other markets, like Bitcoin, are in a depressed state for a fall of the real estate market to happen. And when you look at the price ratio between houses and people's labor, which we've illustrated on this show, we are really early in this over-abusive, high-price region. And since we are really early, there's place for still 2 years, 3 years, 4 years without a real estate market crash. Because when you look at the past crisis of 2008, you had a first little peak, and then you had a second breath regain. I would be very surprised if the crash that's coming was to come right away, because then that would mean there's not even a second breath. The market, the real estate market, would just be left to crash. So basically, if you are in the strategy, if you're in your 20s and looking for buying a home at some point in your life, but you're not sure when, I would align myself toward 3 to 5 years from now. That seems to be the moment at which I most expect the real estate market to collapse. 3 to 5 years from now. But yes, with also keep yourself awake and watch and be ready to act if it comes in a different timing, because who knows, at these time scales, it's very hard to predict anything. So Elon Musk replying to Keith Woods, isn't that amazing? He replies and basically confirms that the ADL has been the harshest pursuer of the strangulation of free speech on Twitter. He says, ADL has tried very hard to strangle X/Twitter. Keith Woods says, we all supported your promise to restore free speech to the public square. The people have had enough of organizations like the ADL dictating what speech is allowed. Please do not cave to their threats and collaborate with an organization that hates free speech. Hashtag ban the ADL. And hashtag ban the ADL went totally high, and there was 100,000 tweets earlier today about this hashtag. And I answered to Elon, the strangulation must stop. X can't breathe. Free the bird. Hashtag ban the ADL. If they have tried to strangle you, you have to self-defend Elon Musk. And people were celebrating that Elon Musk had liked the tweet of Keith Woods and has now replied to it. Spindly Opinion says, shout out Jake Shields. Yeah, this Jake Shields guy, is he what, an MMA guy, I think? Or whatever he is. He retweeted me, he quote-tweeted me a couple of days ago, and I was like, holy shit, based. I mean, even I hesitated to quote-tweet myself, but Jake Shields just went in and he quote-tweeted me. I think I can feel the background of change on the internet, and I like it. Okay, he's MMA, but he isn't in the UFC. He was a pro MMA fighter. Even made it into the UFC. Okay, very interesting guy. It's happening. Elon Musk representing South Africa. Keith Woods representing Ireland. And they are hand in hand agreeing on hashtag ban the ADL. That was my meme of today. And amazingly, Charlie Kirk found himself in this mud because now that the crowds of the internet who were busy consuming their childhood portioned juices on the telegrams of the of Keith Woods and others, they had successfully convinced people like me to use the hashtag because, okay, I was starting to feel the fun. I was starting to see, okay, it's not purely a bot operation. It seems like there are genuine humans engaging with this hashtag. And yeah, I want to be part of the party. So they had convinced people like me, but someone quickly noted that, hey, there's this bunch of conservative ink people, and people started gathering lists who haven't used hashtag ban the ADL. And so they took it upon themselves to squeeze their juice bottle onto the public space in a protest to encourage all these people to use the hashtag. And they got something from Charlie Kirk, that Charlie Kirk was so offended at his own statement that he deleted it within the 30 seconds after posting it. But this is the ultimate demonstration that we are absolutely winning. Charlie Kirk has no positioning, has no political positioning left but cucking. Because he would want to say exactly the kind of thing I say. He would want to say anti-white hate. He would want to say the kind of things that Keith Woods say. And in fact, now we have the proof from this tweet. That's what he thinks. So what's the difference between a Charlie Kirk and a Nick Fuentes at this point? Not even that they think differently. It's that Charlie Kirk deletes his tweets when it comes from his heart. Look at this. Charlie Kirk. I love the Jewish people. I love Israel. I do not love the ADL. I believe in the First Amendment, so I don't want to ban anyone's speech, but if I was going to start somewhere, it would be hashtag ban the ADL, which has no place extorting X/Twitter and other social media companies or dictating to federal law enforcement what is and is not hate speech. The ADL is a mass purveyor of anti-white hate. How is that not, if you remove the first sentence, how is that not a alt-right valid talking point from 2016? I mean, he even took the whole idea of extortion, which I was raising yesterday on my Twitter. So basically, these conservative ink people, they feel the pull from the dark side of the force. And they believe the same thing, but they don't have the balls to say it. So he deleted this tweet, and we can get insight into what was too hot for Charlie Kirk by reading his reviewed tweet. So notice, here he had said, the ADL is a mass purveyor of anti-white hate. What does he say in the revised tweet? The ADL itself is America's number one purveyor of hate speech, and the SPLC is number two. What is the difference between these two sentences? I will let you guys, this is your homework. In the regular chat, find the main difference that has led Charlie Kirk to reformulate this tweet. The ADL is a mass purveyor of anti-white hate. The ADL itself is America's number one purveyor of hate speech. And the SPLC is number two. There is one difference. There are two differences. The SPLC is named in the second case, but that's not why you delete a tweet. The main difference between the two tweets is that anti-white hate has been converted to hate speech, what is the difference between these categories? Because we all agree that the ADL, I don't know that they've communicated hate speech about Asians. I don't know that they are particularly hateful against the blacks of America. The ADL, if they do hate speech, it's against white people. So the difference is Charlie Kirk removing any trace that what he's talking about is white identitarianism. That the hate of the ADL, the reason they should be banned from Twitter, is that deeply they hate white people. That is the difference between the two sentences. And it gives you total insight into Charlie Kirk. Charlie Kirk thinks about Nick Fuentes and Keith Woods every time he goes to sleep. These guys are living rent-free in his head. Because he would want to say the exact same thing that they're saying. In fact, he tweets these things. He just deletes it after. That is what has happened this afternoon. We got insight into the mechanism of cuckery of Charlie Kirk, a man who dreams to be Nick Fuentes, but can't quite be it. Glad to see your censorship of any actual issues is working, Linda. Sports ball being number one must be a huge relief to advertiser. In all this cacophony around the ADL, Linda yesterday was attempting to drive advertisers to Twitter, to X, and the argument she found is, hey, people talk so much about sports here. Sports is now the number one topic on X, generating 85k impressions of content every second. Mind blown. Ice cream. Cabbage. Mind blown. That's a new trend in streams. If you don't understand, it's okay. You just don't know the internet. And so, yes, that is the image they want of Twitter. Man, that's crazy. Did you catch the game last night? They want barbecue normies all over Twitter. The problem with barbecue normies is that they have nothing interesting to say. Twitter cannot compete for the barbecue normies. These guys are all on Facebook. I mean, go on Facebook, you're going to see your uncle, your grandfather, your cousin, all with their barbecue, and hey, look at the chicken I've grilled. Did you catch the game last night? The obligatory barbecue normie introduction sentence. John Drake says, that's my brother, sad. Okay, they took your brother for illustrating the average sports normie. Sorry about this, John Drake. I'm sure your brother is truly a based person who just happened to be grilling chicken that day. So yes, to Linda, the problem is that, okay, you can generate lots of impression because there's all these normies, they have installed Twitter, they're not really serious about building their Twitter presence. But when they really feel something about some game, they will say a tweet about it. And it's going to kind of create a trend, but they don't really have their hearts into Twitter. You know, sometimes they'll pass months without tweeting because they are barbecue normies. They might be a good sales point for bringing in advertisers. But the reality is these guys aren't consuming Twitter enough like I am and like other people are to truly drive a continued income stream to your platform. If you get just the barbecue normies as your sales point, you're going to end up like Facebook. Swing It says, who the hell still uses Facebook? It's beyond my comprehension. Yeah, I mean, Facebook is bound to have this super slow death. It is so painful because they're still making billions. It's like, you can't, you know, normally a death or a loss, it can be socially marked like, oh, it just happened. Facebook is dead. And the problem is that this moment will come just in 40 years from now. Until then, Facebook will be like, oh, no, we're still making billions. Oh, yeah, but just a little less billions. Oh, yeah, just a little less billions. And in 40 years from now, it's like, and oh, yeah, we're going to, oh, let's invest into the metaverse. And oh, oh, we lost a little money in the metaverse. It sucks. Oh, let's invest in shareable identity proofs. Oh, it sucks. The free market has done better. And ultimately, all that Facebook can do is squeeze the lemon that they have, the lemon that they gained by being the first social network where people were assuming a true identity, where people were being networked according to their natural social network rather than starting social networks from scratch on the internet. That is where Facebook won, and we're past that. We're past that on the internet, but that gave them such an amount of consumers that we're going to have to wait for all these people to die before they are liberated onto the rest of the internet. A 4% link tax, why the government's draft Bill C-18 regulations just increase the chances of no news on Meta and Google in Canada. Well, they talk about the chances, but isn't it the case that this has already started? We had Gad Saad be kept from posting his vanity articles about his own book. The censorship is already here. Yeah, are you fucking crazy, Canada? An astonishing floor of 4% of revenues for linking to news. The global implications could run into the billions for Google alone. I can't believe that I've had a whole life where I've been very serious about communicating all links to all content I talk about. That's why on every show, you will go to an HTML5 below. It's a computer. I wrote a script. I wrote a batch script that takes all of my browser windows used during the show, automatically puts it on a server for you guys immediately after the show, so that all of you can access the sources of the content I use on the show. I can't believe that I may be forced by Canadian law to take a different direction. I don't know. Will this apply only to search engines, or will this apply to me? Because do I have to now sum up every super chat I receive? And I'm like, okay, well, I've talked about 2 news items from Canada today, and so I have to give 4% of your super chats to Canadian news item I talk about. I hope that there will be something in this bill that limits it to the big players, because I'm not doing it. I'm literally going to just stop talking about news if I have to pay to these news sites. I'm okay driving some traffic to them when someone wants to source the information. I'm not okay financially contributing to them. Most of what I do on my show is a critique of what I'm looking at. So the critique doesn't want to sustain the viability of the thing he's critiquing. In a way, Canada is coming into a true violation of freedom of thought here. Go away says JF full-time super auto pets. I mean, I'm considering ideas of that sort. So I don't know. I will have to read the details of the law, but I'm not excited about this law. I certainly don't want to pay for links. No, JF, ATM, it seems it applies only to Meta and Google. I have only a French article, sorry. Well, I'm glad to hear about it. So he sends a Radio Canada link. New rule on Facebook and Google. Well, I mean, even for Facebook and Google, it's unfair. Like, if I was them, I would totally do what they're doing, which is, all right, we're not linking to Canada News anymore. Frederick von Finkel says, have you noticed that God is dog backwards? Yes, I've noticed that before. Didn't think much of it. You know, you would have to do the whole roots, Latin roots, and where these words have come from etymologically to determine whether it's purely a coincidence or whether there is something there. My guess is it's a pure coincidence. Because what is the origin of the word God? The word comes from Proto-Germanic languages, Gop, goddess, Goo, God, and Got. Now, where does origins of the word dog? The origin of dog, the origin of the English word dog has been riddled for ages. It developed through Middle English doge, from Old English dogja, after which the trail seems to go cold. At first, it referred mostly to dogs of a coarser nature and was often used disparagingly, also as an insult to people. So, see, no common root. One comes from a Germanic tradition and ultimately stems from something like Got or Goo or Goodis or Goop, whereas the other really comes from Doge, Dojo, Doge, D-O-G-G-E. Now, you could retrace, they say that they don't, the trace goes cold. So perhaps Doge itself comes from something that would eventually link to God, but a priori, I wouldn't believe that. That wouldn't be my first hypothesis. Ruby Frank, 8 passengers, parenting mom arrested on child abuse suspicion. So apparently this girl, Ruby Frank, a Utah woman, she ran a popular parenting advice YouTube channel. She has been arrested on suspicion of child abuse after her malnourished son escaped from home. You have to be very careful about these claims. Now, there are other claims which I think are serious, but the malnourished claim can be totally used in irresponsible ways. It's been used before against me, not for children. I was accused of malnourishing my fiance, and they kidnapped her. Like, we have to protect her from JF. Malnourish, it's like, it's very subjective. Well, it's like, maybe she didn't want to eat. Maybe most of the world is actually overnourished. The fact is that by the standard of today's caloric consumption, some degree of malnourishment with respect to the mean is actually more healthy than eating like the average person in America. And most importantly, you know, you can be malnourished if you ran away from your parents' home, but you're not malnourished because of your parent. You may be malnourished because you left the home and you didn't eat while you were running. And there are some teenagers and children who can revolt against their parents unjustifiably, and they can look like they're weak or something, but they're weak because they're in a state of nervousness because they just revolted against their parents. So all in all, just be careful with the concept of malnourishment here. However, it did seem that this guy had injuries, open wounds, and duct tape around his extremities. So he would have been truly duct taped by his mother, and there would be injuries. And there was a previous history where she gives massive punishments to her children, apparently. One punishment that she had given was to sleep on a beanbag for 6 months. And that had shocked her YouTube subscribers. And people started reporting her to child protective services. I don't know about this story, you know, beanbag. Okay, is it an unfit place to sleep? Well, is it really a punishment? And is 6 months too long? All of this seems pretty extreme. Certainly duct tape is pretty extreme. I think that good parenting, if you do good parenting, you should never reach the point where you have to duct tape your children. It does seem to me like some form of crime if you endure on top of it. So in my taste, if all that is true, that would be a form of physical restraint that I do not stand for. But it's when people are YouTubers, and YouTubers about parenting especially, it's very easy to trigger a crowd and lead them to make up stories about you. And sometimes children can make up stories, you know, they can embellish reality to justify their revolt. So I wouldn't, without a proper due process, I wouldn't judge this person immediately. But it's an interesting story to follow. Will we establish that this person turned out to be a super hardcore punisher mother? According to a report in the Salt Lake Tribune, Miss Hildebrandt, so that's one of the guests that was appearing on the show with this parental mother, Miss Hildebrandt was put on a probation for 18 months and nearly lost her license to be a pornography addiction therapist after publicly discussing a patient without his permission. In a second video entitled Guiding Children to Truth, Ms. Hildebrandt called on mothers to understand that principles are necessary for children to have a calm and peaceful life. Okay, I don't know what to think about this story. I want to learn more. I want to know what were the circumstances in which this whole conflict with the son happened. Busing illegal migrants to Blue America is working. Oh yeah, you bet it's working. That was one of the best strategies of the last few years from a just political strategy perspective. How do you make life horrible for the leftist? That's what you do. Republican border state strategy to send illegal immigrants to Democrat-run cities and states is paying off. This is a financial burden the city and state are shouldering on behalf of the federal government. I cannot ask New Yorkers to pay for what is fundamentally a federal responsibility. I urge the federal government to take prompt and significant action today to meet its obligation to New York State. The leftists are cracking up. They are losing their chill. They realize that infinite generousness is unsustainable. Papa JF could have told you. In fact, Papa JF told you that since like 2015. Since my first appearance on Mike Enoch, you know? I was like, one thing people are going to have to realize is that infinite extension of generousness will be exploited. And we just can't do that forever. There's going to have to be a stop. It's going to have a voluntary stop, or it's going to be a hard stop by the limits of nature. You better wish you reason yourself into a voluntary stop before the system cracks. And in the same line as the last news item, press secretary's lies immediately exposed after claim of Biden having done more to secure the border than anyone else. People have fact-checked Karine Jean-Pierre. Karine Jean-Pierre. The thing is, one leftist said this, more to secure the border. The leftists, when they say this, they mean we made it safer for the illegal migrants. You know, the illegal migrants aren't dying anymore trying to cross the border. We welcome them. So the problem is you can make up this word secure to mean anything. It doesn't mean that by count there are less illegal migrants passing. You may have secured the border in the sense that you offer free food to... Yeah, secure for passage. I'm pretty sure that's what a far leftist would say. And someone says, Jeff, please respond to Nassim Taleb tweet. The problem is that Elon doesn't allow tweets to be any more read publicly. So I have to be logged in. And Nassim Taleb blocked me. He blocked me when I did a fair review of his theories of IQ, and I say, oh, he's got something good, something bad, some things I agree, some things I disagree with. And he blocked me for saying this. So I can't see this tweet. Now, I guess what I can try to do is if I put this tweet in Telegram and Telegram generates a preview of the tweet, I can see a part of it. Evidence that Mr. Dawkins, the science writer Richard Dawkins, doesn't understand the elementary mechanism of scale transformation. That's all I can see. The then Elon Musk has put dot, dot, dot. I cannot see more than this tweet. You're going to have to take a picture of this tweet, T.S. Apostolos, and send it to me in Discord DM. And if it's interesting, I can review it tomorrow. Nassim Taleb generally is not interesting. Nassim Taleb makes it an obsession, and it's his whole signature to be so autistic about the mathematical detail, but very often that doesn't threaten the general conclusion. He makes his argument about, oh, this guy doesn't understand math. That's basically Nassim Taleb in a nutshell. It's always what he's going to conclude. Oh, they don't understand math. And sometimes, you know, the math that is part of a statement you make publicly, even if you don't get it fully in detail, and even if you don't mean it exactly in the way Nassim Taleb decides to autistically interpret it, that doesn't mean your statement is incorrect. But now T.S. Apostolos says he was commenting on this from Richard Dawkins. Richard Dawkins was saying, why do I say the gene is the unit of selection rather than the group or even the individual? A successful gene can persist in the form of copies for hundreds of generations, while animals, groups, and species die. The full episode is here.
A gene in the form of copies of itself can potentially survive for millions and millions of years. And so the difference between a successful gene and an unsuccessful gene really matters. The difference between a successful individual or a successful group or a successful species doesn't matter in the same sense because it's going to die anyway. The thing about a gene is that you come back a million years later and some of them have made it through and some of them haven't. So that's the significance of why the gene is the unit of selection.
Yeah, it's actually a poor explanation by Richard Dawkins because the gene that makes it a million years later is a copy also, you know. And the argument from group selection is that groups are copies of each other. That the seed of a group that could seed, yes, a new group. So yes, the old group would eventually die. But in the same way, the old genes very often die. and the child's copy is what survive. So what Richard Dawkins is laying in this particular clip is not the fundamental reason why group selection is wrong. But I'm sure that Nassim Taleb is on a totally different track than this on his critique. I'm sure he has taken it into the direction of some aspect of mathematics not working to his taste. And that's pretty annoying. That's it for tonight, boys. Much love, and I will see you all tomorrow. Thank you.